I think I've done all of those one time or another. So great. So we're talking today about worship, leveling up in our praise and in our worship. First, hey, let's talk about what we're all about as a church. As a church, let's say it together. We are living a passionate mission to love, grow, and go for the greater glory of God, right? And if it's your first time here, thanks for coming to check us out. And all of that, that's just so wonderful. If you have any questions, grab a hold of one of us or somebody with a lanyard. If it's your second time here, thanks for coming back. Glad that you guys are here. We are going through a three-part series where we're talking about leveling up, about not staying where we are in our lives, not staying where we are in our faith, not staying where we are, and moving forward, leveling up, growing in God's word, growing in worship. And so, because when we level up in our faith, when we grow in God's word, when we grow in worship, when we grow in prayer, when we grow, when we level up, it actually helps every area of our lives, right? A rising tide lifts all boats, doesn't it? And when we grow in our faith, when we grow in the Lord, it helps in other areas of our lives because we're able to love people better. We're able to work better. We're able to get along with others better and relate better. Those things happen when we grow in the Lord. And so really, the challenge during this series is to go, hey, where are you at with God? And how is your relationship with Him? And is it a growing thing or is it just sort of a part of your life? Maybe your walk with the Lord is just church attendance, or your walk with the Lord is a label that you wear, or whatever. And we want to challenge you to grow because our faith is meant to be something that grows. Our faith is meant to be something that we grow in, that we move in, that we're moved forward in, and so that's why we're doing this. God is always drawing us to grow in our faith. He's always drawing us to become more like Jesus. He's always drawing us to love others sacrificially, and I'm so glad that God doesn't leave me alone. That He's always kind of poking at me to grow, always provoking me to grow. And if you don't feel maybe like a provoking to grow, if you don't feel like sort of an urge to grow in the Lord and move forward in Him, it could be that you've become a bit anorexic, right? Spiritually anorexic. You know, when somebody is anorexic physically, the danger to being anorexic physically is what happens is they deny themselves food. They deny themselves food. They're not nourishing themselves. And then what happens is they stop being hungry, right? They stop being hungry. That's the danger of anorexia, is you stop being hungry, so your body stops prompting you to nourish it, right? And so what happens then is somebody who's anorexic, then they're literally dying, but they're not hungry, so they're not feeding themselves so that they don't die. But we tend to do that spiritually. We deny, we don't stay in the Word, we don't practice prayer, we don't worship, we're not growing in our faith. And so after a while, it's like our spirit stops being hungry, right? And so our inside, we're not hungry to grow in the Lord, we're not hungry for God's presence. And so we're dying spiritually, just like, you know, it's like we have spiritual anorexia. And so my hope for us is that we would not become people who are spiritually anorexic, right? That we would not be people who are just perfectly happy with where we are spiritually, but we'll be people that are like, no, I want to press on, I want to press on, I want to press on. You know, a lot of people who want to get better physically, want to grow their muscles, right, and they go to the gym, they might put a picture of a bodybuilder that they really admire up somewhere so they can see it, and it sort of like inspires them. It's sort of like, yeah. I wish all of us had like a picture of Jesus in our locker, right? Open it up, oh, picture of Jesus, I want to be more like that, right? And so hopefully that you'll just kind of want to be more like Jesus, you'll want to grow. Okay, our key scripture that we've been using through the series is Ephesians 4, 15. It says, instead, we speak the truth in love, growing in every way more like Christ. Growing in every way more like Christ, who is the head of His body, the church. God made us to grow. God's design and His purpose and His desire for us is to be people who grow, who don't stay stagnant where we are, but we grow in Him. And our faith is meant to be something that we grow in. We're meant to increase in the knowledge of God's Word. We're meant to grow closer in our friendship with God. And so today, I want to talk about how we do that through the act of worshiping, which, you know, we did earlier today. We'll do a little bit more. We saved an extra song for you at the end so that we can worship a little longer together. But I remember one time I walked in here at Mercy Vineyard. You know what? God has really, like given me a lot of grace over the last 5 years in that I haven't had to like really call any sick days. I don't recall any Sundays where I've just gone, can't make it, I'm too sick, you know. But I do remember showing up on Sundays sick, you know, because it was like, hey, it's my turn to speak, and there's nobody really to fall back on, you know, so I'm going to have to come sick. And I remember one Sunday I came here, and I was just feeling awful, just awful, and I was dizzy, I was fatigued, I felt like my brain was only firing on three cylinders. You ever have one of those days? I can't think straight. I feel like my head's in a cloud. I'm dizzy. I'm weak. Oh, my goodness. And to add to all that, it's raining outside. And I just wish I was home, you know. I have one of those days. And so kind of was having one of those days, just feeling sick. And the time came in the service where the worship team came and they started playing. And despite how I felt, even though I felt like just sitting there, this is kind of my seat, and it's okay if somebody else sits there, though. I'll find another one. This is sort of where I sit, and I remember the music starts, and I thought, you know what, I feel like garbage, but I'm going to stand up, and I'm going to sing, and I'm going to lift my hands to the Lord, and I'm going to make this conscious decision to worship despite how I feel. And so I don't know what happened, because I didn't feel like any tingling. I didn't feel like a warmth. I didn't feel any of that stuff. But somehow or another, by the time worship time was over, I felt a lot better. And by the time we were done singing and kind of prayed the closing prayer and it was time to come up here to speak, I felt so much better. And I can't explain to you how that happened other than that God went, oh, hey, wow, he doesn't feel like it, but he's going to stand up and worship. You know what? I think I'll just bless him. I think I'll just, you know what, I love him. I'm just going to touch him and help him to feel better. And it was just amazing. And I was so glad. At that moment, I was so glad when I got up to speak that I wasn't like, you know what, man, I don't feel like it. I'm just going to kind of sit. I'm just going to lay across the front row till this part is over, because that's about what I feel like doing, you know. And I'm so glad that I didn't listen to my feelings, but instead I listened to the prompting and the drawing of the Holy Spirit. And you know, can I just say that the Holy Spirit is always prompting you, is always drawing you, is always wooing you, okay? And if you don't feel that and if you don't sense that, it could be that you have maybe a little touch of spiritual anorexia, okay? And so the Holy Spirit's always drawing us, always wooing us. And maybe you've kind of experienced that before, you know? Maybe you're one of those people who've come and you were discouraged and you were sad, but somehow telling God how awesome he is brought you some joy, right? Brought you a little peace. Has anybody ever experienced that? Yeah, you know, it is so awesome, okay? And it brought you some peace. It brought you some joy. Maybe like you, you've experienced God's healing power during a time of praise, during a time of worship. And there's just something about worshiping God that invites him to bless us. There's just something about that. About worshiping him, telling him how awesome he is, it invites him to bless us. It creates some sort of condition in our heart that makes us accepting and willing, and just invites God to bless us and to minister to us and to allow us to experience the presence of God. Okay? And so today I just want to talk about just leveling up in our worship. Okay? And I believe this is an area that God wants us to grow in and engage in and move beyond simply standing and singing songs, right? Because standing and singing songs is pretty cool. It's a lot of fun. But, you know, you can do that at the Rotary Club. You know, they sing a song. Don't they sing a song every time they meet? And Rotary does it. And if you're part of Kiwanis, I think they also will stand and sing a song. You know, you can stand and sing a song just about anywhere. But worship is so much more. It's so much more. And so I want to talk about that, all right? And what does that mean to us, and how do we grow in worship? So we'll talk about that, but you know, let's pray real quick first. Holy Spirit, come. Just come and show us and help us to grow and level up in our worship, and show us just what that means and how we can walk closer to you. How we can become more like Jesus. Just through the simple act of praise and the act of worship. And just open our hearts, transform us by your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so I'm going to start off today with a scripture. It's 1 Chronicles 16, 23 through 34. And just a little bit of a backstory. Back when King David ruled Israel, he was Israel's second king. the nation had like this really super valuable gold box, and it was called the Ark of the Covenant. And maybe you've seen like Raiders of the Lost Ark, you know, and faces melting and heads exploding and all that stuff. And maybe you've seen that. Then you've seen kind of really what the Ark looked like. It was this gold box, and the top of it had two, they looked like angels, cherubim that were covering the top of the box with their wings. And it was super valuable to Israel. Just research it. But inside of the box was Moses' staff, and it was the tablets that the original Ten Commandments were written on, and they were inside the box. But also on the box, I should say, over it hovered the presence of God. And so the presence of God was always there with the Ark of the Covenant. And I just think it's so awesome right now that, like, that back in the day, like the presence of God was sort of like, almost like contained. But now the presence of God, we get to experience it. And Jesus, when he came and inaugurated the kingdom, he came and he brought the presence of God with him and ushered in the Holy Spirit. And so we get to have the presence of God with us now, which is so awesome. But so they had this box and the presence of God dwelt there. And there was a season where the ark was just lost. You know, nobody knew where the ark was. What happened to the ark? And it turned out that it was at some dude's house. It was just there, right? And it was like this dude just kind of had, he was just kept the ark at his house, and he was like prospering in everything he did, and his crops grew great, and it was just, he experienced all these wonderful blessings. And King David went, hey, we got to go to the dude's house, and we need to get the ark, and we need to bring it back to the temple, to Jerusalem, right? And so he took a bunch of people, and they went, and they grabbed the ark, and as they did, they were just like praising God. He's like, hey, the ark is back with us, awesome, and they're singing praises, and they're praising God, and they're just having this incredible, almost like a worship parade, you know, like going down the road, they're carrying the ark, and some guy dies from touching it. That's another story altogether. But, you know, they're just worshiping and praising, and they're singing this song. And this song that they sing is just so full of, like, worship help. It's so full of, like, you know, praise. And it says, let the whole earth sing to the Lord. Each day proclaim the good news that he saves. Publish his glorious deeds among the nations. Tell everyone about the amazing things that he does. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. The gods of other nations are mere idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty surround him. Strength and joy fill his dwelling. O nations of the world, recognize the Lord. Recognize that the Lord is glorious and strong. Give to the Lord the glory he deserves. Bring your offering and come into his presence. Worship the Lord in all his splendor. Let all the earth tremble before him. The world stands firm and cannot be shaken. Let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice. Tell all the nations the Lord reigns. Let the sea and everything in it shout his praise. Let the fields and their crops burst out with joy. Let the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Isn't that awesome? Oh, man, there's some good praise in that passage. Some great worship in that passage. This is one of those that you just kind of want to have, you know, just stick it to your bathroom mirror and read it in the mornings because it's so awesome. And that would just so preach. But you know what? If you remember one thing this morning, I want you to remember this, that worship is our response to the gratuitous love of the Father. That's what worship is. It's our response. Yeah, I said just gratuitous. Y'all know what gratuitous means, right? Just massive, just saturating, incredible, generous, just more than you could ever contain love of the Father. And our worship is our response to that love. It's our response to that love. And Scripture tells us time and time again about just this scandalous, generous, crazy love that God has for us. Okay? And when we experience God's goodness, it's like God saying, hey, I love you. I love you. Right? Isn't that so hard for so many of us to understand, isn't it? Is it like simple, the three hardest words for most of us to ever accept, ever understand in our lives, to ever admit is, I'm loved, right? God is going, I love you. And so many of us go, we interpret that as, I tolerate you. Or we interpret that as, you know, I showed you that I love you, but I don't really have an overwhelming sense or feeling of love for you. Right? Oh, I think one of the reasons why so many of us struggle with worshiping God is that we struggle with the idea that we're really loved or that we're really even lovable to anybody. Because can I just say this, off script, if you really understood how God loved you, you'd be on your face weeping with incredible gratitude and praise and worship. Because when somebody comes along and literally takes your place on the cross, that's not enough. That's just not enough. Okay? And so if we really understood, if we really knew how much God loved us, and it really sunk in, and we really believed it, and went, God does love me, and that's awesome, and He does think I'm awesome, and He is mighty, and He is loving, then we would praise Him. Then we would worship Him. In our house, we just kind of have a thing. It's just a habit. In our house, when somebody says, I love you, the immediate response is, yeah, right? I mean, that's just in our house. It's saying, hey, if somebody says, I love you, they say, I love you too. And so our worship and our praise is just it's like that, I love you too. I love you too. I love you too. You are awesome. Okay? And so it's, I love you too. I love you too. You know what? When somebody kind of, there's something really super gut-wrenching, guys, maybe. I think more guys maybe have experienced this than girls. Have you ever, like, been dating a girl? Have you ever, you know, really got, you're into the relationship a little bit and you go, I love you. And they went, I know. Right? Yeah? You know? I love you. Thanks. Oh, isn't that gut-wrenching? Isn't that like, oh my God, I just totally put myself out there. Now there's this big thing dangling out there and I said, I love you. And I'm like, do they love me back? I don't even know what's going on, you know? And so we just dangle it out there. But here God is just singing this, he's just putting himself out there and he's just singing these ovations of love for us. He's singing his love song for us. And our appropriate response is, I love you too, God. I love you too. I love you too. And I know there's something very vulnerable about I love you. There's something very vulnerable about those words. But God wants us to be vulnerable in response because he has made himself so vulnerable, literally he allowed himself to be killed. Right? He made himself so vulnerable. He gave the ultimate I love you. And our appropriate response as believers, as people who have received his love, is to say, I love you too. I love you too. That's so awesome. And so God has laid it all out on the line for us, and we get to bless him back with our worship. And you know what? It may be inadequate. It may be like totally not even close to what he's done for us, but it's still awesome. It's still awesome. And so worship is our response to the gratuitous love of the Father. And so next is worship is a choice. You know, worship is a choice. We choose to worship God. And sometimes we think that we need some sort of warm, fuzzy feelings, right? When the warm fuzzies come over me, the hand goes up. No, you don't have to wait for warm fuzzies. That's not a choice. You know, it's not true. Worship is an offering. Sometimes worship is a sacrifice. Scripture calls that we'll bring a sacrifice of praise. And that just means I don't feel like it. You know what? I'm in a bad mood. I'm going to praise anyway because I'm going to bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, right? And so we don't need fuzzy feelings. Worship is an offering. It's not always easy, and we don't always feel like it, like the morning I showed up sick, but it's still a choice. And see, God's worthiness of our worship is not dependent on our feelings, okay? Because you know what? You may not feel like worshiping God, but God is still worthy of praise. And so God's worthiness of adoration, of praise, of worship, of telling him how awesome he is, his worthiness of our I love you too is not dependent on our feeling. He's still worthy, right? And so so many other things when it comes to adulting, you choose to do them whether you feel like doing them or not, right? We don't always feel like making dinner for the kids, do we, parents? No. Wouldn't it be awful if we were like, I just don't feel like making dinner for you tonight? Mm-mm. You know, that would be horrible, you know? Or you know, I just don't feel like paying the mortgage. No. How many times do you think you could do that, you know, before you got in trouble? But you know what? You know, worship is so much greater than making dinner, and worship is so much greater than paying the mortgage. But it's a choice. It's something that we choose to do. And God's worthiness of worship isn't dependent on our feelings. So 1 Chronicles 16 tells us to give the Lord the glory he deserves, right? Give the Lord the glory he deserves. It's not give the Lord the glory you feel like giving him. It's give the Lord the glory he deserves, okay? It's not like, well, you know, I'm going to give the Lord the glory I feel like giving him after I stayed up too late watching Netflix, right? I'm going to give the Lord the glory I feel like giving him, because I'm grumpy, you know, or because I'm sad. And those things are legitimate feelings and all of those things, but they don't change God's deserving of worship, of glory, okay? And something just awesome happens when we don't feel like it, but we worship God anyway. There's just something that's so awesome that happens. We don't feel like it, but we give God worship anyway. Worship is a choice. And it doesn't depend on our demeanor, you know. I'm just not that kind of guy. I'm German, you know. You don't get it, you know. I'm Dutch. We don't do that, you know. And so it's all about making this choice to worship God, okay? And then next thing that I think is so fascinating about worship, and it goes along with this, but worship is war. Worship is spiritual warfare. Worship is war. And there is more to our world than meets the eye. And could it be that you came to church grumpy and not feeling like worship because the devil doesn't want you to worship? Could it be? Could it be? Right? Could it be that you've been just attacked with depression, and you're feeling sad, and you're feeling depressed, and life is just so overwhelming you, and it could it be that the devil knows that if you worship with abandon, God will touch you, but he wants to keep you focused on all those external circumstances so that you won't worship God? Could it be, right? Worship is war. Worship is an act of warfare, okay? And there's more in our world than meets the eye. There are demonic spiritual forces that want to keep you living in fear. They want to keep you in addiction. They want to keep you in depression. They want to keep you in all those things that weigh heavily on your shoulders and keep your arms down. And if you just worship God, it will open the door for him to come in and touch you, right? Could it be? And so worship is war. And that's why we can be drowning in discouragement and experience courage, and we can experience hope when we sing and we declare how awesome God is. Yeah? Right? So where is the enemy? He's under our feet. So, you know, let's worship, let's worship, let's worship. Worship is war. And the fourth thing is this, is that worship changes us. Worship changes us. Right? It's hard to be hard-hearted when we tell Jesus how much we love him, isn't it? It's hard to be bitter when we're worshiping the God for forgiving us. It's hard to like be bitter towards someone or resent someone and thank God for setting us free and worshiping us and not resenting us. Isn't that hard, right? Because worship changes us. Worship moves in our heart and it changes us and shapes us, and it's so powerful. Worship changes us. And you know what? Worship changes us to be more like Jesus, right? Share it. Worship changes us to be more like Jesus. Because here's the thing about worship that we have to understand. Because worship changes be more like Jesus. We become like the object that we worship. Think about that for a minute. We all worship something. All of us in this room worship something. And we can worship God. We can worship money. And we go, well, I don't worship. Well, I don't know. You know, worship is what we give our attention to, our hearts to. So, you know, if you're watching 6 hours of television a day, I would call that worship. Okay? And so when we are worshiping the television set, we become like the characters we see in the movies we see, and we take on their attitudes and we take on those things, right? And so we become like the object that we worship. And so our object of worship should always be Jesus, because we will become more like Jesus. And isn't that what we want, right? Isn't what this is all about? We level up so we can become more like Jesus, the object of our worship, the object of our praise. We become more like Him. That's why we worship Him. And I want to be more like Him, because you know what? He's so much more loving than I am, right? Because He's so much more forgiving than I am. Because He's so much more generous than I am. Because He walks in the power of the Spirit in so much greater measure than I do. And He said that one day I'll do things even greater than He did. All right? But you know how I'm going to get there? I'm going to get there by worshiping Him. That's how I'm going to make a difference in the world, because the worship will change me. And then out of the overflow of God's presence of me, out of the overflow of that worship, and out of the overflow of that praise, I'm going to make a difference in the world around me, okay? Because I'm going to become more like Jesus as I worship Him. We become like the thing that we worship. That's why it's so important that we give God our time, that we give God our praise, that we give God our worship, okay? So understand that. And, you know, a lot of us will deny. We will deny to the bitter end the things that we worship, okay? I know guys who worship their pickup truck. I know guys who worship their Harley. Okay? They worship their... How do I know? Because they skip church every Sunday to go on a ride. So they're worshiping their Harley. Okay? And the guys who worship their object, and you become like the thing that you worship. Okay? So it's important that we worship God. We worship God. All right? I hope that challenges you. Some of you might be... I can feel you in just like mentally rubbing your bottom a little bit. And that's okay. That's okay. just as long as you mentally rub your bottom. But worship changes us to be like the object that we worship. So what are a couple just real practical things? Let's just get a couple real practical things, and then we'll worship again about worshiping God. It'll help us worship God, okay? It's not an exhaustive list, but, you know, it's just a good place to start as we move into a time of worship today. But the first thing is when we worship, you know, put distractions aside. We all carry baggage, right? Don't we all carry baggage with us? I'm sure that everybody who walked in the door here today had something on their mind. I had something on my mind when I came in, right? I came in and I was kind of thinking about some family issues and all of that sort of stuff, and thinking about, you know, this responsibility or that responsibility. And I kind of came in this morning thinking about, you know, some relationships that just have a little tension in them right now. And I came in this morning with a little baggage. We all kind of come in with something on our mind, something on our heart. We'll come in with a little bit of baggage. And it's important that when we come to worship, we just lay that baggage at the foot of Jesus, right? And just say, you know what, Jesus? So part of worship is our focus. It's our attention, okay? So when we come to worship, we say, you know what, Jesus? I'm here to focus on You right now. I'm focusing my attention on You. This moment is Yours. This moment is Yours. Right here, right now, it's Yours. It's not those other things. It's Yours right here and now. And that's one of the ways that we worship Him, is we say that giving You my thoughts. I'm giving You my attention right now. And then the second thing is worship is we practice gratitude. In worship, we practice gratitude. And sometimes, you know what? Gratitude doesn't come naturally, okay? Especially when we live in the first world. And, you know, a lot of times gratitude doesn't come supernaturally. If you want to see people with incredible gratitude, go to a third world country where people have absolutely nothing. And, you know, all you have to do is, like, give them, like, an old shirt of yours. And you might as well have, you know, given them $1 million. They're extremely grateful for what you just did. And so in our first world country, sometimes it's like we're just so ungrateful. You know, we have so much. We've been blessed with so much. We've been blessed with amazing kids. We've been blessed in a land of freedom where we can assemble and we can worship God in freedom. We have so many blessings, not to mention all that Jesus has done for us. And we can practice gratitude. You know, 1 Chronicles 16 says to give thanks to the Lord because the Lord is good and the Lord is loving, right? We can give thanks to the Lord for He's good and He's loving. And so it's important that when we practice gratitude, we use our words, right? If you do something nice for somebody, have you ever done something real nice for somebody and, like, they never said thanks? And you know what that's like? Would you rather have them just think about how thankful they are, or would you rather get a card? Let's be honest. We all love a thank you card. We all do. We feel appreciated, right? And so when we worship God, when we come and we express our gratitude, use your words. God gave you a tongue, God gave you a mouth, God gave you the ability to form the words thank you. And there's something special about them when we practice gratitude. When we practice gratitude, okay? And so practice gratitude. Use your words to tell Jesus how grateful you are for his love and for his compassion. All right? The third thing is this. This might be tough for a couple guys here. Sing. Right? Yeah? Right? Sing. First Chronicles says to sing to the Lord and to shout his praises. Okay? Singing. That is an act of praise. That's an act of worship. Okay? Some people say things like, I don't sing. I don't sing, dude. Right? But this goes back to making a choice. Right? Because praise is singing, so sing. You know, it's choosing to sing. And no matter how awful you think you sound, you know what? I probably know somebody who sounds even more awful. Right? No matter how awful you think you sound, there's probably somebody that sounds more awful. It doesn't matter. Okay? It's making this choice. God is still blessed by your singing. I will never forget, I think I might have shared this story with you before, but like when I was in sixth grade, everyone in our class had the opportunity to go down to the gym one day and pick a musical instrument to play. There was all these instruments out there. There was saxophones, there was trumpets, there was cornets, which is what I chose to play, which is like a smaller trumpet. For me, it was all about what's going to fit in my locker. I didn't care what it was. It was just like, it has to fit in my locker. That was, and flutes were too girly. And so I was going to... Which is funny because I've met like some male flute players that are actually really good now. But Ron Burgundy, for instance. But, so I chose the cornet because it fit in my locker, and the cornet is a smaller version of the trumpet, and I remember I had to learn Twinkle Twinkle and one other song, which I don't remember now at this time, it was so long ago, but I remember picking it up, and I'm learning Twinkle Twinkle, and I was horrible at it, you know, it sounded like I was like strangling geese, and it was just awful, and we had this thing every year called Bandorama. And Bandorama is where all of the grade school, middle school, and high school bands got together, and they all sang pieces, and all the parents were there. And I remember going to Bandorama, and there were, I'm not kidding you, probably thousands of parents there, all in the Bradford Field House over in back in Kenosha, Wisconsin. And it came our turn, the sixth grade band, to play our songs. And I remember just going like, half the time I'm faking it, you know, I'm trying to blow in there. It's like, and it didn't even resemble Twinkle Twinkle. It was horrible, horrible. In fact, the whole band sounded horrible. All of us sounded horrible. I have geese flying over my house in the fall that sound better than our Twinkle Twinkle. And I remember just in this awful noise of like brass going up, hundreds of parents standing up and just clapping. And woo, go, that's my boy. Woo, look at him, that's over there, he's playing the cornet, you know. And they're just clapping and applauding and they're just making this ruckus. You would have thought we were the Philharmonic, you know, the London Philharmonic, the way that they all just stood up and applauded us. And you know what? That's what God thinks of your singing. That's what God thinks of your praise, of your tone deafness, of your voice so low, it's just a vibration. That's what he thinks of whatever it is, noise that you're making, because he's hearing your heart and he's going, oh, that sounds beautiful, that sounds awesome. And see, the thing is, remember I said, we worship, our worship is what we're putting our attention on. And so when we stand and we put our attention on what the people around us might be thinking, well, suddenly, what are we worshiping? Right? The opinion of man, maybe? Right? Instead of the Lord. And so it's a choice. Worship is singing. And the last thing is this, and I love this. You know what? Sometimes we just need to get our body into it. right? Kneel, lift our hands, shuffle our feet a little bit, right? Get our bodies into praise, okay? You know, I don't know about you guys, but, you know, there's a story of King David in the Bible that literally he danced so hard that his clothes came off. I want to make a personal guarantee that will never happen to me here. So I wear a belt every Sunday just for that reason. But, you know, he danced and he worshiped and he praised, and it was such a beautiful sight to the Lord. When we're filled with joy, we show it. We show it with our posture. We show it with our hands. We show it with our feet. And so this morning, what I want to do is I just want to close with a few minutes of worship. So Wendy, if you want to come, that would be awesome. And just kind of practice what we've been talking about. And just practice worship and practice praise. What we're going to do is as these guys come, we're going to show a quick video. I want you guys just to check out this quick video, and then we're going to worship, okay?